Maybe by way of Hakdama, I'll mention a famous question that the Rambam was asked actually. It's found in the Chumash Rambam whether one should stand for Aseres HaDibros. This week is Parshas Yisrael, and as you all know, probably the central feature of Aseres HaDibros, or Parshas Yisrael, is the Aseres HaDibros. And now the question is whether one should stand for Aseres HaDibros when it's read. And here you probably are aware that there's a fundamental distinction between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Sfardim do not stand for Kriyas HaTorah, do not stand for Aseres HaDibros. And Ashkenazim, generally, for what I saw in Chutz Haaretz, if I'm not mistaken, they do stand. If I'm not mistaken, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Shira last week, you also stood, I imagine. That seems to be an Ashkenazim practice. So the Rambam has the following comment, and I want to read the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Kol isha sheyamru b'ez kriyas aseres hadibros b'sefer Torah, any person who stands, b'kavanah tchila, which means that they're sitting the entire time, and they got up, they get up, thank you very much, Ari, shekach, you just see them out, appreciate it. And they get up, dafka, for aseres hadibros, roi ligor bo. That person should be subjected to chastisement. That person should be taken to task, says the Rambam. Lefi, Shema says this kind of action, midarki haminin. The Rambam says it borders on almost a kind of apikursis. Why? Asher maminim, that obviously these people believe that Aseres HaDibros is more important than the rest of the Torah. Isn't that an astounding statement? And the Rambam says there's no distinction between Aseres HaDibros and the following pasuk. The pasuk that says that Eliphaz had a pelegesh, had a concubine. That's also part of Chumash. So the Rambam says there's no distinction between Aseres HaDibros and that pasuk that speaks about the concubine of Eliphaz. Wow. And the Rambam, and this is generally the Sfardic position, so the Rambam says those who stand, they should be stopped, they should be, that kind of activity should be curtailed, and the Rambam indicates very clearly, so of course the question is, if the Rambam Shita is as it is, namely that one should not sustain, so why is it that the Ashkenazi communities, who actually, generally speaking, certainly revere the Rambam, you may be familiar with Brisk, almost as if the only Rishon that exists in the world is the Rambam. There's no Rashi, there's no Tosis, there's no Rashba, there's no Ritva, there's no Ramban. The only Rishon that exists is the Rambam. And the Rambam was, as you know, of Sephardic origin. Why is it that the Ashkenazi community has decided to somehow dismiss the Rambam summarily, disregard the Rambam? The Rambam is a very clear statement. Yes.
I believe the solution is that we stand for the entire Aliyah instead.
So that is what many do in order to address this Rambam. That's what Aaron, my Rebbe, Rabbi Ehrlich. Aaron Ehrlich. He's a very Ehrlich Hayid. So there are those who also stand for Kriyas HaTorah, but there's no Chiyah to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. That's the subject of a machlokes between the Maran Brudenberg and others. And it happens that many, many people stand for Kriyas HaTorah because the assumption is, as Rav Soloveitchik said, the Kriyas HaTorah is a reenactment of Maimon HaSinai. And if that's the case, it's based on Yerushalmi and Brachos, thank you very much, it's a reenactment of Maimon HaSinai, then it requires Be'ema, Be'ira, Be'rseis, Be'zeya, because if you remember the pasuk in Aseres HaDibros in the context of Maimon HaSinai, it says, it speaks about Hahor Bor Ba'esh Alev HaShamayim, and then it also speaks about Kal Yisrael standing there at HaSinai. But what Aaron suggested is a correct suggestion. And therefore, ideally, once you stand the Aliyah before, or perhaps in Tariq B'Yisrael, let me just finish this point. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal pointed out the following. He noted that there are really two different, I'm sure most of you are Balei Kriya at one time if you're Bar Mitzvah, I imagine you read a little bit, or perhaps you may be Balei Kriya on an ongoing kind of basis. There are two different, what's called Tam Mikro, two different troughs for the Aseret HaDibros. What's called Tam Tachton and Tam Melyon. I imagine you're familiar with that. You can see it actually even in the Chumash over here. And they are fundamentally different one from the other. Because Tam Tachton, which is generally, I think, the trap that's published in the text of the Chumash, Tam Tachton divides the Kriya into Psukim. The way Kol HaTorah Kula is divided into Psukim, so here also, Aseres HaDibros is divided into Psukim as well. However, the Tam Elyon does not divide the Aseres HaDibros into Psukim, but rather they're divided into Dibrot. Dibrot meaning Ten Commandments, as we are wont to call it, divided into Dibros. So therefore, in the case of Tam Elyon, the Trump actually will combine a number of Psukim even together, but if they're all actually considered to be one Dibra, even though there are several Psukim, Mashenken, if you hold the other Tam, so then you have a different situation. I'll give an example. Let's say you have Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinov, Lo Tignov, Lo Tana Briacha et Shoka, those are four separate Dibrot, correct? Four separate commandments. So according to Tam Elyon, since they are divided into four Dibrot, they're divided into four Psukim. Because the criteria is Dibrot as opposed to Psukim. Anyway, the reason why I mention this is because of this Rambam, and this is a famous Rambam, because many people stand for Aseres HaDibros, Ashkenazim, not Sfaradim, and the reason why Aseres indicated they stand, because often they'll read the Tam Elyon indicating that what we're doing, we are reenacting Maimon HaSinai. When you reenact Maimon HaSinai, that would require an Idah, that would require a standing posture. But Rav Soloveitchik himself had to practice never to read Tam Elyon, with the exception of Shavuos. Shavuos represents Maimon HaSinai, the regular Kriya of Bais Chanan in Yisrael. He read with Tam Tachton, and that's the minhag of Shiva of Dar Shraga as well. He follows his Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. But in terms of the issue, I just mentioned this by way of Akdama. I hope everyone now has a piece of paper with the sheet in front of them, and that's what I want to discuss today, tonight. A Pasha in Chumash, which is, I'm going to show you in the reading of the Psukim, it's not my Chiddush, but it's a Chiddush I heard from my Rebbe, Hagoyim Abdissim Albers Zatzal, many, many years ago, and it's a very beautiful idea that's expressed here, and also a very fundamental concept in our Hashkafa. Okay, start here and then over there, and then I hope we have enough time to go ahead and say the Shia. Yeah.
Did the Rebbe explain how Az Yashir was allowed to be stood for?
That's an excellent question. Sfaradim don't stand for Az Yashir. Why do we stand for Az Yashir? Ashkenazim, what's the Makor? Do you stand for Az Yashir? No, you do not? The answer is one?
I was going to say Kol Torah, not Kol Torah.
How am I going to go between the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim jokes?
May Hashem bless you. At least that we should give him. That's a legitimate question. Where else, by the way, when else do Ashkenazim stand in the Torah besides the Shira? Any other places?
Parsha Zohar.
Is that true? Anyone remember, do we stand for Parsha Zohar specifically?
Yeah.
It is true that Parsha Zohar is considered to be a Kriya Min HaTorah. It's a Torah obligation to read Parsha Zohar. That's a correct statement. But I'm not necessarily certain that that is the practice of the Ashkenazic world. Maybe I don't sufficiently know the Ashkenazic world. I think I do. I've traveled in the Ashkenazic world my entire life. But besides the Shira Sayyam and Aser Sadibros, are there any other places that you remember? The Chumash where... Yeah.
Do we stand the last Aliyah of the
Torah? Oh. You hear that? The last... Not the last Aliyah.
Before
Chazak, Chazak, Benit Chazay. Everything. And every single one of the Chumashim. That's true. Nope. And there's a Gemara in Brachas that for those who learn Daf Yomi, a lot of you are learning Daf Yomi, that one of the items that requires Chizuk is Torah. Torah requires Chizuk. What else requires Chizuk besides Torah?
Tefillah.
What else? What?
Eretz.
Those three require Chizuk, and Chizuk means that we have to demonstrate we're going to begin again, even though we are now finishing. I'm not going into the whole topic right now, but the question is, so why do we stand there? Why do we stand at the last pasuk or the last psukim before Chazak, Chazak, and Nit Chazak? Yeah.
Those that when you read, not the Rabbah, that read Yisroh with Tam
Tachton.
Tam Elyon.
Oh, okay, Elyon, sorry, Elyon. Yeah. Tam Elyon.
Did you sign maker with Tam Elyon also?
I would imagine, no? I think so. I would assume so. I actually do everything with Tam Tachton except for Shavuos. Only Shavuos. That's the minhag apparently of, according to our Soloveitchik, it's the minhag Agro. The minhag Agro is Dafka and Shavuos to laying Tam Elyon, otherwise to laying Tam Tachton, to laying it in terms of Psukim, not Dibros. Why Dafka Shavuos Dibros? Because Shavuos is obviously Maimon HaSinai. Okay, all this was just by way of Adar. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So how would standing for the whole entire Aliyah
Because it doesn't look like you are simply standing just for this Aseres HaDibur.
It would be like you're standing for that Aliyah specific and not for other.
Okay. So then, as mentioned by Aaron, Aaron said something else. He suggested standing for the entire Parsha. This way, no one will accuse you of any kind of skullduggery. Everything will be fine. Okay, I want to now read Perek Yutes. You'll see what I'm going to read. And this is a very significant Perek, Perek Yutes in Yisrael. You have it in front of you. I'll just, essentially, anyone who's heard me, and many of you have heard me, hopefully most of you, if not all of you, have heard me once or twice in the course of the year. I'm very into reading the text carefully and then coming to conclusions based on my reading of the text. So let's start. Perek Yutes. V'chodesh ha'shlishi l'tzeit b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. V'yom hazeh vo'u midbar Sinai. They came to midbar Sinai, the Torah says, v'yisum erfidim, v'yavo'u midbar Sinai, v'yachanu b'midbar, v'yichan shom Yisrael neged ahar. So Klal Yisrael is now in camp at Har Sinai. And now we have what seems to be a kind of a hakdama to Kabbalah Satorah. U'moshe Allah Eloh Elokim. Vayikra Elav Hashem in Ahor Lemar. Hashem calls him and tells him, Kos Somar Leves Yaakov V'Sageid Ben Yisrael. By the way, this is the source where there's an entire movement or an entire franchise of schools named Beit Yaakov. It comes from this passage. Kos Somar Leves Yaakov V'Sageid Ben Yisrael. So what does it mean? The simple chat that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Beit Yaakov, and how do you translate the word tagein, lagid?
Tell
B'nai Yisrael. Of course, these are two different verbs. One, the verb of Amira, the other, the verb of Haggadah. And Rashi, you probably are familiar with Rashi, it's a very famous Rashi. Rashi comments, Kol Tomar. So Rashi says, B'loshon hazeh u'kisedir hazeh. Using this language and using this order. Do we know what Rashi is talking about? What is Rashi talking about, since I asked the question?
So,
what does he mean? Milashon hazeh
u'kisedir hazeh. So shall you say.
I know how to translate these words, thank you. That you didn't really help us. Usually you help us immensely. I guess, what does Rashi want here? Milashon hazeh u'kisedir hazeh. Using this language and using this order, what order are we talking about? Okay. So take a look at the next Rashi, one second. Yeah, look at the next Rashi. The Beit Yaakov, Elohim Hanoshim, that refers to women. Tomar lehem b'loshon raka. How do you speak to women?
Softly.
You know.
Who made that ingenious comment? Oh, Hashem. It must be a Shon of Bet comment. Anyway, v'tagei l'nei Yisrael, onshin v'dikdukin. Pirush l'scharim dvarim hakoshim kegidin. So what does Rashi say here? When you speak to Bnei Yisrael, that refers to whom? The male gender, the male folk, zicharim, that they are called by the Torah Bnei Yisrael. And how do you speak to them? Dvarim hakoshim kegidin. Namely?
Harshly.
Harshly, correct. You speak to them, you tell them about onshim, dikdukim. That's how Rashi learns the pasuk. There are two groups being addressed before Matan Torah. One of the women folk, and one of the male folk. And when Rashi says, therefore, B'loshon Hazeh K'sedir Hazeh, one can interpret that exactly what Rashi means is now understood, namely, the order. Whom do you speak to first?
Ladies.
The women, the ladies, thank you. Ladies first. Is that such a popular expression? Etiquette demands that ladies first. And then subsequently, you speak to whom? You speak to the male folk, but to them you speak a bit more harshly. That's what Rashi seems to say. Okay, let's continue. Atem Risem, I'm reading Pasuk Dalet. Atem Risem Asher Asisim the Mitzrayim, that Hashem indicates, look what I've done. Vo'eso eschem al kanfei nisharim v'avi etchem Eloi. It's a very famous Rashi here as well. Rashi tells you the distinction between a nesher. A nesher is an eagle. The way a nesher treats its brood is different than other birds. And Rashi has a whole discussion. I'm not going to go into that Rashi right now. Because a nesher protects very carefully his brood, and that's exactly how Hashem treated Klal Yisrael. He carried us al kanfei nishorim on the pinions of eagles. Va'avi eschem Eloi, Hashem was mekarev us. I always this pasuk always reminds me. I tell this over many, many times. that when I went to hear Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, I drove from St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis, Missouri is in the middle of a country called the United States. And there's a city called St. Louis. This gentleman sitting to my right is a grandson of a great Rosh Hashiva, the Chassid Lubavitch. This great Rosh Hashiva lived in St. Louis. And I also happened to live in St. Louis at the same time that his grandfather, Zatzal, lived there. And we had, shall we say, some minor disagreements. That's the understatement of the year. I won't get into that whole discussion. but I was essentially a Talmud Rav Soloveitchik, and he comes from a slightly different world called Lakewood, New Jersey. Okay, so we had some disagreements on a number of issues on a daily basis, Kimat. Anyway, I won't get into the details of that, but I went to hear Rav Soloveitchik Shir. I drove from St. Louis to New York, and that was approximately, I don't know how long it would take you, but it took me approximately 23, 24 hours of driving. That's a fair amount of driving. And I would tell my children, then were very young, this is in 1981, 82, 83. I told them, no drinking for 3 days. This way we only have 2 pit stops in 24 hours, or maybe 3 pit stops. And this way, there's no problem. They were very young. And so, on the way back, I didn't have to drive. I was carried by eagles. They carried me on the way back. After the shiur I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, I was literally floating in the stratosphere. I was not planted on terra firma. I was in a different place. I'm not joking. You think I'm joking? I'm not talking about moving up in Shmuel. I'm just trying to describe to you my euphoria. So I was in literally in a euphoric state, and that's a 4 or 5 hour shiur in Yiddish, which you may not necessarily have been enamored of, but I happen to grow up on Yiddish, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, it's my mamaloshin in some respects, and so I was literally in a different place. So I always remind myself of this pasuk. I didn't have to drive. It was, what do you call it again?
Tesla,
thank you. Tesla, Uber, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, I continue. It's just this is an aside. V'ata, and now pasuk K. V'ata im shemua tishmu b'koli. Hashem says, if you listen to my voice, nishmatim es b'risi, v'yisam li sgula mikol amim ki li kol ares. You'll be a sgula. However, you translate the word sgula. That's a hard word to translate. Rashi translates it as otzar chabib. You'll be a treasure to me. Ki li kol ares. Because Hashem obviously is ubiquitous and Hashem has universal proprietorship over the entire universe. But there's a problem with this pasuk also that you should notice. The atom shemoa tishmu. And then it says bikoli. Translate that for me, Avi. If you listen, bikoli. Bikoli. In my voice. There is something that you should right away notice as being peculiar. What should it have said? Shemoa tishmu. Bikoli. Excellent. Avi, you're right on target, as always. Must be those rugalach.
I stopped.
You stopped?
I made a bracha achrona before,
already?
So I had to cut my, that's how you do it, you know?
Okay.
Just to make sure you don't have to make a bracha tomorrow.
Wow. Kibat kovei asuda, rugalach. Wonderful. Shrekha shekhoz. Anyway, so there's a problem here. Chiba said, Likoli. Talking to my voice. What's Likoli?
In my voice.
A little strange. I continue. Besides the Am Segula, we're also requested to be a kingdom of Kohanim and Goy Kadosh. By the way, the word Goy, what does the word Goy mean? The Goy point is out of Israel. The word Goy refers to, we generally mean Goy, when we use the term Goy, what do we mean?
Gentiles.
What? A non-Jew could very well mean a non-Jew. Or what else could it mean?
Nation.
The way the, what was that? A nation, excellent. That's how the Targum Uncle translates. That's probably Jacob is always into Targum. The Am Kadosh. So that's what the Targum says. But the word Goy comes from the word Gimel Vav Yud Hey, which means physiognomy of a person. The Goy has many rises. The Goy means the Vilna Gaon. When I say Gaon, I mean the Vilna Gaon. Because I'm not necessarily referring to all the Gaonim that's sitting in front of me, Baruch Hashem. But I'm referring to the Vilna Gaon. Anyway, so it says, V'yatem Tiyul Malachas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh Eila Advarim Ashtet Dabriel B'nei Yisrael. So now I just want to point out a number of things, if I may, that I think are also fairly obvious. Look in Pasuk Dalet. The word Atem is indicated after Moshe speaks of, the Hashem speaks of two groups, Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael. And then he says, you have seen what I did in Mitzrayim, Atem. And then if you listen to my voice, will be a segula, and then again in pasuk vav, yatem tiul in malachas kadosh v'gad kadosh. Why is the word yatem repeated? Why is it repeated twice? We know who we're talking to. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem already indicated in pasuk dalet, yatem risim, Hashem sees to the mitzrayim. Why the repetition? Secondly, or thirdly, I'll maybe summarize the questions in a moment. Notice that even though we have two groups, Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael, but the end of pasuk vav tells us Ela hadvarim asher tedaber el Bnei Yisrael. So, what are we telling Bnei Yisrael, and what are we telling the Beis Yaakov group? Is it clear or is it not so clear? I don't think it's clear at all, because there seem to be two messages. Message is found. Message number one: a pasuk dalin, a pasuk a. And then another message, here comes Rashi, another question. Says Rashi, what does Rashi say? Not less and not more. Of course, not less and not more. Exactly what Hashem's Baruch indicated what we're supposed to do. Why does Rashi say? Let me summarize the question to you. Question number one, the Torah began Kol Tomar, as Jake noted. Says Rashi, B'loshen Azeh, Kaseidu Azeh, following, using this language, and this order, Rashi says there are two groups. What are the two groups? Women first, men secondly, and women are spoken to softly, men are spoken to harshly. Item number three, the Torah uses the expression of Atem Risem, Atem is found twice. Why the pronoun twice? Why is it Pasuk Dalet? And then again, in Pasuk Vav. Question number four, why does Rashi say at the end of this, Eila Advarim Lo Pachas Lo Yosef? Of course not less than that more. We're going to change, we're going to somehow alter the directive of Hashem Yisbarach. There are more questions, but I just want to show you an example of questions of this nature should lead you to certain conclusions that my Rebbe came to, but it's not only his Chiddush, I later found it, a similar kind of Chiddush or a similar Diyukim in one of the Gdol Yisrael that perhaps you're not so familiar with, Rabbi Shulev Diskin. Rabbi Shulev Diskin, my real Diskin was the Rav in Brisk before he came to Yerushalayim. I have a lot of connection to Brisk. I consider myself to be a bit of a Brisker, since I learned by a Brisker, and I have to like Brisket as well. Anyway, but that was pretty bad. Anyway, but just to point out, this, do you hear the questions? Yes.
So if there's two groups, there's Beis Yaakov and then there's Bnei Yisrael. So in Mishal, there's Beis Yisrael.
But that's also found, as you know, in the Hallel. Beis Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, the Halal Gadol, also found the Halal Mitzri. I believe there's a distinction between the two, but I can't describe it right now because it needs will take us far afield. But this is Bnei Yisrael as opposed to Beis Yisrael. So let me just, by way of Akdama, answer these questions briefly because I see time is a fleeting. You probably are aware of a Gemara in Becheres, I'm sure. The Gemara says that when a person is Mekabel the Torah, so you have to be Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kulam. You have to accept the entire Torah, and you can't go ahead and say, this I like and this I don't like. Many people, even many fine Jews, feel connected to this mitzvah, not connected to another mitzvah. That statement, I hope you will retract it, Miyad.
I got it from Ab.
Oh, the mindset was not.
Both of you are racist. Racist and xenophobic. And may Hashem bless you with Arichas Yomim and give you both the Refuah Shleimah. Let's not repeat what he said because it's not really worthy of repetition. Nice. But he meant well, and he's an Enigma of Rosh Hashiva. And Mitzvah Hashem, he'll get there eventually. I said this many times, and I'll say it again, but I just don't have a lot of time to go through this. Namely, that the reason why we have both Ashkenazim and Sfaradim in the Yeshiva, because you may or may not be aware that we are all one, and they are Acheinu Bnei Yisrael, and hopefully we Ashkenazim are also their brothers, and we're all in this together.
He forgave me on behalf of both Sfaradim. He spoke for all of them. Forgive him. I did Mechila. Clear. They say it after, what do you call it?
They say it
they
every
do
day.
Maybe you
should adopt some of their practices.
Yeah, maybe I should.
That might be helpful. Okay. Anyway. So Kabbalah means Kabbalah is called Torah Kula. Without any reservations whatsoever, I'll just give you an example. You know, when you showed him, actually had a lot of issues with the Rambam. You're probably aware the Rambam decided the Yud Gimli Karim, 13 articles of faith. So many Rishonim said, "Mi samcha le'irs le'ish savish shofet aleinu." That's a pasuk in Chumash. I like to express things in Pesukim because of a tesis and above in the base. Anyway, so "Mi samcha le'irs savish shofet aleinu." Who made you the kingpin that you decide what the Ikrei Hadassah are? You decide what the cardinal tenets of our faith are. And you know what the Gemara says? It's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chel Golam Haba. You know the Rambam interprets that Mishnah. Whoever believes in your Gimli Karim that I sit down has a chel Golam Haba. Wow, isn't that something? He was something, the Rambam. Excellent. You know, my father used to say, "Mum's the word, chum." Anyone get that phrase? Siog the Chochma. I can express it a few other ways, but I'll try to be polite. I'll say another pasuk. The whole kli asher ein tzomit pasil alone. Any kli that doesn't have a what? Tzomit pasil. It's called ale tamehu. That's a pasuk in the Kukas. Okay, but don't let me just. I like to express things without sirtut. Okay, so now. So there's you're aware that a ger comes to be Megayer, and when a ger comes to be Megayer, so we essentially, what does the Gemara say in Yevamos? You probably know that sugya. Gemara in Yevamos, also Din Shavuach, also quoted by the Rambam. Do we tell a ger about Kol HaTorah Kula? No. What do we tell him? The Ikrim, basically, such as what Ikrim do we tell a ger? The idea of what? Is that true? Does it say that in Gemara in Yevamos? So why did you say what you said? Oh, you're guessing. Okay. Baruch Hashem, Hashem, bless you too.
Shabbat's an Iker. It's a cornerstone.
But what is the fundamental, the idea of, number one, that there's a God in the world, Hashem Echad, the oneness of God, and, by the way, one or two other things that I mentioned. I'm not saying we should teach Shabbos. Of course we should teach, obviously. But you know the din is Gosh Shabbos, Gemara Tzad Hedin. What's the halacha of Gosh Shabbos? Chayav Nisa. God is not allowed to observe Shabbos. You're aware of that. And the guy also came on Torah. And there are many other such dinim. But anyway, we tell them about the basics, including the idea of tzedakah and chesed that we derive from which Megillah, which we read on Shavuos. Yerus. I hope we read Rus and Shavuos and not Esther. I hope so. But it could be. Sometimes I don't know where I am. Anyway, they're jesting already before Purim. Even though we're only in Shvat. But anyway, so the. So there's a din you have to be mekabel kol haTorah kula. And let's say a ger says, "Okay, I'm a mekabel kol haTorah kula, except for this din d'rabbanan that I don't like." What's the din? Ein mekabel also. The Gemara b'Cheres. You're not allowed to be mekabel this ger. You have to be mekabel kol haTorah kula. So Abchaim Meiz has a tshuva. You ever heard about the Chaim Moser? As one of your people, Abchaim Meiz has a famous tshuva where he writes there in the tshuva that it's Kabbalah's Kol HaMitzvos. You don't tell a ger, a would-be ger, all the mitzvahs. There's no way you're going to do that in one session or even 20 sessions. Even many, many fine, wonderful Jews that I have, for example, sitting in front of me, outstanding young men, we don't necessarily know Kol HaTorah Kula, every single mitzvah. We're not necessarily aware of everybody. Along the way, hopefully, we'll acquire that knowledge, little by little. Anyway, but the deal is you have to be Mekabel Kol HaTorah Kula. But Yud Gimel Ikrim, and the Rambam felt that Yud Gimel Ikrim of Emunah. How do you translate Emunah?
Faith.
And that's exactly a very significant thing. So now, there's no question that different people, as you know, and maybe the most important principle in Yad is the principle of Chanoch L'Nar Al-Pi Darcho. When you are a Chanoch person, how must you do it? Each one in accordance with their own way. That's a very significant principle, which has to a large extent, unfortunately, really been abandoned by Klal Yisrael because of all kinds of other reasons. I can't get into it right now. But every single person needs their own tailor-made Chinoch. Where they're holding, where they're at, how we should approach them, what should be the methodology, should we use a stronger kind of approach, a softer kind of approach, should it be brisk, should it be neo-Hasidic, should it be Chabad, should it be Kalibach, should it be Eitan Katz, should it be, I don't know, whomever, whatever approach, there are different approaches. What else you have, any other suggestion? Rabbi Avadya. What? Rav Kook, whatever it may be. So there are different approaches. We say there are different approaches to different people, and that is obviously significant. And each one has to be approached in accordance with their position. So my Rebbe, Agoyim Nisim Elvis Zatzal, who's the Talmud Mubiger, Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, he made the following suggestion. This came, and I mentioned, this is also, I saw in Rabbi Shur Lane, the Maril Diskin, the Rabbi Briskin, later to Yerushalayim, also has a similar kind of analysis of the Pesukim. He suggested that Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael do not refer to, as Rashi says, women and men. No, they're talking about two different groups. What are the two different groups that the Torah is talking about? The answer is, one group that perhaps has limited background, that doesn't come necessarily from, they're not what they call them, FFBs, like this gentleman over here, my Rebbe, but rather from birth, they're not the FFBs, but let's say they, along the way, they became enamored of Yiddishkeit, whoever, however it came about through NCSY, through Chabad, through any other means, whatever, they may have had some epiphany one day, or they may have been itzfas, for Shabbos, I heard the, what do you call it, what's that singing group? There's a singing group in Tzfas. I forgot the name. Yeshiva usually goes to Tzfas. Not?
Simply
Tzfas. Okay, I don't remember now the next name of the singing group. But anyway, the kids are, so there are different ways, different approaches. So now the Torah said the following, and I want to reread the Pesukim. This is how my Rebbe reread the Pesukim. Let's read it quickly. It says, "Kol Soma the Beis Yaakov." So how do you speak to a group that has no background, that are not FFBs, that came to Yiddishkeit perhaps later in life, that somehow really may be older and may not simply have any parents who are observant the Shomer Torah mitzvahs? You have to speak to them. How? Kol Soma Amira Loshin Raka. Softly, you have to show them the geshmak of Torah, the beauty of Torah. Show how beautiful Shabbos is. Show how beautiful mitzvahs are, etc., etc. Describe to them the niflaos of Hashem Yisbarach, how Hashem cared for Klal Yisrael throughout our history. However, there's another group, FFBs, that are perhaps stronger. Let's say Sfardim, who grew up in Flatbush, because outside of Flatbush there are no Jews. Anyway, so the I think there are a few in L.A. and maybe a few in Great Neck. That's about it.
One cigar, could
thank you.
I'm talking about Sfardim. Sfardim at Tahorim, Baruch Hashem. Anyway, so those who may have a stronger background, so Rashi says, what do you, how do you approach them? Harshly. Harshly means, what do you teach them? That's what you have to teach them. What do you teach the others? That other group? What was that? What was that? Okay. The other group, you have to basically teach them the Agoda in Perek HaNizokin. You teach them about Kamtza, about the Chuban HaMikdash. Okay, that's also fine. The Gilas Esther. Anyway, now I want to show you the Pesukim where you see this. Torah goes on. Atem reisem asher asisim the mitzvayim. Vayesa eschem al pan finishorim. Vayesa eschem eloi. And we can be a segula mikolamim kili kolores. So which group is being addressed over here? So my Rebbe suggested this is the Bnei Yisrael group. We can rise to incredible heights. We can be carried on the pinions of eagles. We can be like that Rosh Hashiva of Tara Shraga, who no longer has to drive back from New York to St. Louis, but who's on the pinions of eagles, who's being carried aloft by an unbelievable Lamza Shashir. And that is why now the Torah first says in Pasuk Dal Atem, and then again the Torah in Vav says Nocham Al Atem. Why Nocham Al Atem? And now a second group is being addressed. Which group is that? Bnei Yisrael. How do I know that? Because it says at the end, Eilad Varmah Shadavi Bnei Yisrael. So the first group is really the Beis Yaakov group, and they're told, look at the beauty of the Torah, Sgula Mikol Amim, Kili Kol Aretz. And then the second time the Torah uses a pronoun. Why? Because now we're telling you, not enough just to go ahead and engage in stories and learn Agoda, which is beautiful, appreciably, but now you have to also become a Mamachas Kadosh and a God Kadosh. That you become by Befana Nichtov, by Rabba and Rabba, as mentioned earlier, at the very beginning of the Shir. That becomes actually by Eid Mesira and Eid Hasima. That's how you become Mamachas Kadosh and a God Kadosh. So these are two different groups and being dressed differently, and that's what Rashi means when he says at the very outset, different lashonas have to be used to approach different groups. You know what I'm asking? No? And therefore, perhaps the way I would approach you is not the way I would approach myself. I would approach you, you're obviously someone of caliber, someone of great caliber, and therefore, I'm sorry? I would. B'mchila, I would say for every single person in this class. You're all caliber, Baruch Hashem. You just have to appreciate and have the self-esteem that Amir Hashem will come about in the course of time, where you're going to become, you may become a Magid Shir one day. You'll take the whole world upside down. You'll turn the world upside down in a good way, in a positive way. Anyway, I'm just pointing out, there are two approaches. So the Torah is telling us in Pasuk Vav, the approach of Bnei Yisrael, namely, we're demanding more from you, you can be Malach Kodim B'Goy Kodesh. That's what you say to Bnei Yisrael. And what do you say to Beis Yaakov? You speak about the beauty of Shabbos, and you go to a musical concert, and you learn Agodah, and you describe, again, very, very beautiful ideas that are found in Klal Yisrael. And this now will explain, my Rebbe said, the language of the Atom Shemua Tishmu Bikoli. Why not Likoli? And the answer is because you have to tune yourself in like a musician. I don't know if you are aware, you're probably not, you're coming from a different generation, which is good. I grew up with Chazanim. I don't think anyone in this room would enjoy Chazanim. Or maybe you do. Maybe the Sfaradim have a better appreciation of Chazanim. I don't think so, the way they're giving me that look. But anyway, certainly Ashkenazim don't. Anyone know what a Chazan is?
Yeah.
I'm talking about Kusovitsky, people from 100, 200 years ago, etc., etc. So I grew up with Chazanim. So often, Chazanim would have this little musical piece in order to tune in order to get the right tune. We know what they call that. There's a, what's it called?
Pitch.
Have the right pitch, correct, but there's a word that describes this little...
Tuner.
Tuner. It's called a tuner. I think there's another word for it also. The problem was... what did he say?
Pitchfork.
Not a pitchfork. But what is it called?
Tuner.
A tuner, but it's a word actually. It's a pitch actually. In order to get the right pitch, and they will use it even on...
Metronome.
But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is the following. You get not allowed to use musical instruments on Shabbos, that's a Zera, Shemi Yisakin Kli Shia, but whatever the case is, the word Bikoli means to tune in, where am I holding? So the Torah placed between the two atems this pasuk. Am I part of the Beis Yaakov group, or am I the Bnei Yisrael group? And here in the yeshiva, everyone knows we have quite a range of young men, outstanding young men, but some come from stronger backgrounds, some come from weaker backgrounds, some come from no backgrounds, and they're making incredible strides. They are rising to the occasion. All of you are rising to the occasion. So a person has to know, which group do I belong to? That's what the Torah has placed between the two atems, this pasuk. The atem shema tishmu bikoli. Tune yourself in. Where am I holding? Where do I belong? Am I in any club of Rosh Hashiva? Like this one over here? The moment I met him, at the beginning of the year, I said to myself, this guy is something. By the way, I sniffed him out. I scented a future Rosh Hashiva. Oh!
Hopefully one day.
There's Hashem Yisbarach. And he has it in him. He has a shmek of teva, much more than a shmek. And I heard about, I don't want to embarrass you.
Too late. He's
a very big master. I don't know if you know, he's aware of his hasmada. He learns a tremendous hasmada. And he has it was a grandfather, Sechatzag de Bracha, whom I knew in St. Louis. As we said, we had some minor disagreements on a few issues. I was involved in St. Louis, I was a menial of a co-ed high school, and his grandfather felt that that high school should be closed down every single day. Yahar Val Yabar. If you give them your life, basically, I should really, to a certain extent, be removed because I should not be involved with such an enterprise. And I fought with him. I was much, much younger. And I fought with him. I said, these are nefashos yikaros of Klal Yisrael. Limud HaKodesh was separate. Limud HaKodesh was together. I don't know if you're familiar with such a concept. You probably came from Lakewood or something. Something like that. And I felt that there was a basis for that. I can tell you a lot of stories about that. I had many disagreements with him, with his grandfather, who was a massive Talmid Chacham, a great, great Talmid Chacham. I say that honestly and truthfully. And he was a kanoi, but he was ish emes. He wanted only the authentic item, the authentic truth. And that's a beautiful, one of his many beautiful qualities. So here the Torah, in brief, is telling us that you have to know where you are. Where am I holding? Which group do I belong to? And therefore, based on that, you have to adapt accordingly. What chinuch should I be receiving? So I think the yeshiva is trying its best to provide a range and to provide a I call it, even in some respects, one could say, a multicolored and multi-hued kind of approach. What you call, actually, I think the term that they use today is when someone is capable of doing a lot of things at the same time, what do they say?
Multitask.
Multitask. So someone who's multitask has that ability. So all of you have to find yourselves within the range of the of this beautiful, I think, beautiful yeshiva. Okay, I'm slightly no gabba dabba, I hope you don't mind. But whatever the case is, and you have to know, where am I? What should I focus on? What should I stress right now in my life? If somehow I feel learning Chumash is more exciting to me, there are many young men who come to me every morning and ask me questions on Chumash that are scintillatingly brilliant. Some of them sit to my right over here. And they are tremendous questions. And I'm really excited about the questions they ask me. I happen to love Chumash as well. I also happen to love Ufana Nichtav. I also love Rabbi Yisrael Rava. I love it all. I'm one of those. Anyway, but they ask me beautiful questions. And there are other people who ask me questions on Tesis and Rashi, on Gemaras, on Rambans, on Rambams, in Machshava, in philosophy, and I'm open to everything. Because Torah is so beautiful, and the Torah is so, has so many colors to it, and the Torah is telling us here, as Hakdama Kabbalah Satara, Da es atzmecho, or as Socrates said, know thyself. Know where I'm holding, know who I am, know where I can go, how far I can go right now at this point in my life, but you're all moving up. Because the Baal Shem Tov says, you don't move up, automatically where you're going?
Yeah.
The other direction. We all have to constantly be older, malo, malo. So here we have two groups, lav dafka, women and men, two groups among the male folk, and we see how the Torah is so medayi in the Lashonos to allude to these two groups. I'll advise that all of us, both groups in Mitzvah Hashem, should continue to go, mechayil achoyil, in Mitzvah Hashem, to become outstanding B'nai Torah and Talmidei Chacham.